Church, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams." And right here, this is the day of Pentecost when the first church is established, the ushering of the kingdom. And for us to see the kingdom established, and one of the evidences of that, right here, as Peter is preaching, is that young men will see visions. And it's awesome because this morning you're going to see this lived out. You got three visionary young men. They're really going to preach to us in a great way. You're going to see this morning the evidence of God's church being established and really living out this passage this morning. That's going to be incredible as Tyler gets up here and Isaac gets up here and Victor, and they'll be able to preach what they're learning from God and be able to inspire us. Great visionaries give us vision this morning.
Yes.
And it's so awesome to see just young men raising up with great vision at a time where vision is so, so important and so needed.
Yeah.
And they've been given a theme to talk about freedom this morning. So each one of them has something to share about being free from. Amen? So I know it's going to encourage us. It's going to inspire us. Going to convict us in a great way. And really call us to draw closer to God this morning. So you're in for a treat. So let's strap in, buckle up. Let's give our brothers our hearts and encourage them as they encourage us. Without any further ado, I give our first preacher, Tyler Youngsma.
And this morning, I'll be talking about the life of Moses. We all know who Moses is. The Bible records him as being the most humble man to ever live. Moses was an incredible leader. He had great boldness, great courage, but most importantly, he had a great personal relationship with God.
Yep,
he himself received the Ten Commandments from God himself.
Yep. Come on, Tyler.
Well, let's see how his life started in the beginning. In Acts chapter 7, verse 20, we have Stephen preaching about Moses' life.
Amen.
The first martyr that died for his faith. In Acts 7, verse 20, it says, "At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, who was powerful in speech and in action." Wow, what an incredible start for Moses' life here. The Bible right here records the first adoption. The first adoption in the Bible was Moses.
Wow.
It was for a particular reason, so that Moses, an Israelite, would learn the ways of the Egyptians.
Wow.
So he can learn all about their way of life, because he'd be the one that God would send this free 2 million slaves.
Wow.
Come on, bro.
He said that he was raising to be a great leader, powerful in speech and action.
That's awesome.
Well, let's see what that looks like a little bit later. Verse 23. "When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon 2 Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, 'Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?' But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?' When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had 2 sons. What we see right here is Moses being a great leader. He wanted to stand up for what is right. He saw his fellow Israelite being mistreated, so what did he do? He killed the Egyptian. A little gnarly right there. He could have probably handled it a little bit differently.
Right?
But you see how his Israelite brothers responded. They rejected him. And what that put in Moses' head was, I'm not the leader.
Wow.
And discouragement settled in his heart, and he fled to Midian, where the Bible records that he was there for 40 years.
Right.
Come on, bro.
He settled in Midian for 40 years to have two kids and live a mediocre life.
That's a lot of settling.
No. Settling is never good for anybody. Because when you decide to settle, you're really just destroying what God created you to be.
Okay.
To be a powerful man and woman of God.
Come on, bro.
So the title of my lesson for you this morning is Freedom from Mediocrity.
Come on, bro.
I got a powerful quote this morning from Matthew Kelly. It says, we don't want to think about our weaknesses. We don't want to talk about them. And we certainly don't want anyone else to point them out. This is a classic sign of mediocrity.
Dang.
And this mediocrity has a firm grip on the church and humanity at this moment in history.
Come on, bro.
And that's so true. The world that we live in now, what it teaches us, you know, teaches us about self, be selfish, live all about you. But it doesn't teach you how to grow. It doesn't teach you to lead the way. We're talking about to settle on your job, get that one job, and then retire with a retirement plan.
Right.
You know, that's the life the world's trying to teach you. It doesn't teach you to give you vision. It says, no, just get a job, get a wife, that's it. Just like Moses. But Moses wasn't raised to be that way.
Right.
He was supposed to be an incredible leader. But then he settled. No, for me, growing up in Springfield, Oregon, is a very small, it's a small city, and that's what Springfield, Oregon is all about, in mediocrity life, mediocre life.
Yep.
You know, there's not much there. You know, I had, well, before I studied the Bible, I had the girlfriend, I had the job, and that was it. I couldn't see past that.
Right.
That was my life.
Just going
you know, it was very empty. You know, I knew there was something missing. I knew there was a purpose that was missing.
Right.
Until I studied the Bible with Jacob.
Right.
I even think about, like, what happened, like, to the great vision and dream? You know, when we're little kids, I bet we didn't dream, oh, I just wish I had a mediocre life.
Right.
No, right? We didn't want that lifestyle. We want to be cops.
Yeah.
We want to be soldiers, firemen. We want to be celebrities. We want to be singers, musicians. We want to be in the NBA.
Okay.
We want to be in the NFL. We want to be famous. We want to be popular. We want to live our dream.
Yeah.
Let's go, bro.
You know, but failure and discouragement creeped in. You got someone put a finger in your face that you can't do it, and you believed it.
Wow.
So you too settled for mediocrity.
Wow.
Just like Moses, standing for what is right, becoming that awesome leader. But someone else pointed a finger in his face, and he went and settled.
Right.
Disciples, we cannot settle. That's not the life we're called to do.
Come on, bro.
The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, we must excel in everything.
There it is.
Let's go.
So my one and only point for you this morning is, disciples don't settle, they put the pedal to the metal. And you're asking this morning, have I settled for the mediocre life?
Dang.
How do I possibly know this? Well, let's look at Moses where he was at in Midian.
Right.
Exodus 4.
Come on,
bro.
Mediocre Midian.
Helps out.
And then Exodus 4. And if you read this whole account in chapter 3, God is just being persistent with Moses. Saying, I'm with you wherever you go. He has to speak a whole chapter about this, convincing Moses that he's a beautiful. And in the start of verse in chapter 4, God is like even working, hey, I'm going to work miracles through you. What's that thing in your hand? A staff? I'm going to use that to do miracles so people will believe in me.
Yeah. Wow.
So he's really helping out Moses a lot right here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
come on.
Well, let's see right here. Pick it up. Let's see how what kind of character Moses has now.
Come on, Ted.
In verse 10, in Exodus 4, the Bible reads, Moses said to the Lord, "Oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Oh, really? The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Isn't that I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." But Moses said, "Oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it." Wow. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses and said, "What about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well. He's already on his way to meet you, and his heart will be glad when he sees you. You shall speak to him, put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him."
Mm.
But take the staff in your hand so you can perform miraculous signs with it.
Nice.
Wow. What a scene right here. What a guy that is raised up to be a powerful leader, powerful in speech and in action. Right here, Moses is not there. He's like Jell-O. He's just mush. God's trying to get that fire back in his heart. You know, but what I pick up from this passage is, this is how we figure out if we're living that mediocre life. There's two signs I take away from this.
Okay.
One, you're full of excuses. And number two is, you do not have a willing spirit anymore.
Wow.
You're selfish. You do not, you've given way to fear. And I think some of us this morning have settled for mediocrity. We've settled for mediocrity in our evangelism. We don't want to bring people to church. We don't want to bring people to Bible studies. We don't want to bring people to Bible talk. We don't want to bring people to the family. We've settled in our walk with God. We think we can miss quiet times, it's okay. We think we just pray 5 minutes, that's okay. Read a scripture of the day, that's good. That's not okay. Maybe we've mediocre in our life. We've settled in our life. Maybe I just get this job, I know I'll pay the bills. That is not what God raised us for. He not just rescued us out the dominion of darkness to settle.
Come on, Tyler!
You don't know my life! You don't know where I came from! You don't know my situation!
Let's go, Tyler.
You're absolutely right. So guess what? I'm human just like you guys.
Come on, bro.
I struggle with fear. I struggle with doubt. I struggle with failures, discouragement, faithlessness.
Come on, Tyler.
I deal with this stuff, guys. Me too.
Come on, Tyler.
This is one of my biggest fears, is speaking in front of you guys.
Yeah. So,
but I step out.
Come on, Tyler.
It's a decision you make to make wake up every morning, decide, you know what? I'm going to live by faith. Amen.
Come on.
We are more than a conqueror.
Yep.
We will soar on wings of eagles.
Yep.
Our mighty God will be with us. Even when we fall down, He's going to pick us back up.
Come on. Come on.
But Tyler, let's be realistic, okay?
Yes.
Well, a great celebrity of mine, Will Smith, said, being realistic is the most common path to mediocrity. Justified by the Son of God. Children of God do immeasurably more.
Come on, bro.
I'm so grateful for Jacob. This man has led me since day one. He is my Moses in my life. He believes in me when I don't believe myself. He gives me faith when I don't have faith. He gives me the right encouragement, the right training I need so I can get to heaven and bring many more people with me.
Come on, bro.
Family, that's not being slave to mediocrity.
Right.
That's not the life you're called to.
Yep.
Family, I challenge you this morning. Get a vision for your life.
Yep.
Where are you going in life?
Yeah.
Do not sell as the world sells.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Get an extraordinary vision for your life.
Yeah.
A vision that's going to just blow you away.
Come on.
Watch God work, just like Moses did. Look at what Moses, and then he's left his mark.
Yeah.
You know, one day when we get to heaven, we get to meet Moses.
Yay.
You know, talk about our story together. Like, wow, we ever came?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
No, guys, let's do not settle for mediocrity. Because you know what? Jesus freed us from mediocrity.
Yes.
God's glory.
Give Tyler a round of applause.
Yeah.
So Jacob mentioned that we were preaching on freedom, right? The 4th of July being Tuesday. What he didn't mention when he was first talking about was we're actually preaching on freedom of one of our biggest character weaknesses. And so he kind of texted us. He was like, guys, we're going to preach on one of your biggest character weaknesses. He sent us out that text message.
Yep.
And I was like, vulnerable and that's one of my characters.
Yes, come on, be vulnerable.
I sent him this list. This huge, it was not a huge list, but it was a pretty good list. I'm like, my weaknesses. And he was like, all right, you're going to do that one right there. And what did he choose? He chooses the word passive. And so the title of my lesson is Freedom from Passiveness.
Come on, bro.
Passive. In your walk with Jesus. And so I want to start off with the definition of what passive is. What does it mean to be passive?
Come on, bro. Keep going.
Well, passive is accepting or allowing what happens or what others do without active response or resistance.
Mm.
So accepting or allowing what happens or what others do without active response or resistance.
Come on, bro.
And so the main point I'm going to talk about is just freedom from passiveness. So being free from a passive life, a passive walk with Jesus.
That's great, bro.
And there's a great story in the Bible that reminds me of someone who's very passive in his character. So let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 27, verse 11.
Come on, Isaac, we're with you.
So Matthew 27, we're going to go start off at verse 11.
Come on, Isaac.
Okay, it reads, meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you? But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now the guy I want to focus on here is actually Pilate.
Yeah. Wow. Come on.
Okay, so Jesus is standing there before Pilate. The religious leaders had just arrested him for blasphemy. He's claiming to be the Son of God.
Yeah.
But they're bringing him to the governor because they're saying that Jesus is telling people not to pay their taxes. He's claiming to be the king, and he's causing riots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the religious leaders were just trying to, they wanted Jesus dead because of the following he was having and the big influence.
Right.
Come on, Isaac, teach us.
Now, and you can see towards the later end of that scripture, Pilate is amazed that Jesus did not defend himself.
Yeah.
Okay? So Pilate knew what was going on. He could see that the religious leaders just wanted to get rid of this Jesus.
Right.
Right.
And so he knew in his heart, like, oh, well, this can't be right. Okay, let's continue. Let's continue in the scripture here.
Come on.
Great, bro.
Now, it was the governor's custom at the feast to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So, when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus who is called Christ? For he knew it was out of envy that they had handed Jesus over to him.
Whoa.
So, here, what's just as ironically funny is that Barabbas is in prison right now. And he's in prison because of what they're trying to convict Jesus for right now. So rebellion, everything like that.
Come on, bro.
Back to the scripture in 19. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed.
Yeah.
Wow.
So by now, Pilate's heart is like, his passive character is really starting to shine here, okay?
Right.
So he has several opportunities to do what is right.
Right, yeah.
His conscience is telling him that Jesus is innocent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he's afraid. He's afraid of two things here.
Come
he's
on.
Afraid of the crowd.
Yeah.
And he's afraid of losing his job because he's currently under a lot of pressure from Rome right now.
Come on, bro.
So this reminds me of something personally that I went through early on when I was first baptized. Oh, when I was first baptized, I climbed a lot, if you guys didn't know that.
Bro.
And so we were in a car ride climbing to go to Auburn. We're going to go climb at the quarry. And then we're on our way back. I think I was in like a month or two, but we were on our way back. And for some reason, like, the car started talking about religion. And so we're talking about religion. Obviously, these guys are all worldly guys in their car, and they were just talking about how everyone's going to hell, basically.
Wow.
And this is where my passive character actually came to be, actually one of my passive moments. It was actually, I didn't do anything to change that conversation. I didn't talk about anything. I actually just sat in the back seat, left window, and I just let their conversation go. And it's just something that just kind of shows that passive character that I had that I have to overcome. And that was just the moment. And it can be hard also just with the crowd. How many times can you be around your friends and you're like, oh, if I share with these friends, are they going to still view me the same? Am I still going to be their friend?
Come on, Isaac.
And these are thoughts that we all have at times.
Yeah.
And so,
come on, bro.
It's important to repent of those, but I'm going to talk about later some of the actions I'm taking currently.
Come on, Isaac.
We're going to continue out of the text with verse 21.
Come on, bro. That's great stuff.
Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asked the governor. Barabbas, they answered. What shall I do then with this Jesus who is called Christ? Pilate asked. They all answered, crucify him. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. So, Pilate gave the people a choice. Do you guys want this Barabbas guy? Or do you want Jesus who is Christ? And the people chose Barabbas. And this is actually a choice that people are still facing today. They have a choice between choosing tangible things like power, money, women, success, or they can choose to have the salvation offered by the Son of God.
Yeah.
And as disciples, that may not be our choice, but our choice is, are we going to evangelize? Are we going to pursue that salvation of God? Or are we going to be passive?
Come on, bro.
And we're going to pick it up here again in verse 24. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, let his blood be on us and our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. So here it is. Pilate, ultimate form of passiveness here.
Yeah.
He let the people choose. So he actually made a choice by letting the people choose.
Good point.
But what he did was he washed his hands. He was just like, let me wash my hands. But guilt still remains. He washed his hands in a tough situation, but that doesn't cancel the guilt. It merely gave him a false sense of peace.
Come on, bro.
So I'm going to encourage you guys to not make excuses.
Yeah.
Take responsibility for your decisions. This reminds me of one of my favorite quotes. I don't know who said it. Don't ask me. But I sold Cutco, for those of you that don't know, it's knives, really good knives. Well, for about 6 years, almost 6 years. And I was pretty good at it. I would always go to like these managers of mine who had a lot of influence in my life, and I would tell them, like, guys, I'm going to sell this amount, and I'm going to go on this trip. And they would hear me talking, right? They would always hit me with this, and they would definitely just, like, convict me, and I'd be like, but here's the quote. It works great for everything, by the way.
Tell me.
Your actions speak so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying. Say that again, dude. Your actions speak so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying.
Come on.
So, yeah, I was saying I wanted to sell this much amount. I was saying I wanted to go on these trips, but they were questioning what my actions were on a daily basis. Was I putting the steps in to make it happen that I was going to go on this trip or sell that amount? And it works great as disciples.
Come on, guys.
So, your actions. Are you seeking God with all your heart? Are your actions proving it on a daily basis? So as disciples, are our actions proving it? Are we having those quality quiet times in the morning? Are we having them in the morning? Are we saving them for after work? Or when you get home? Are you starting your day off with God? Are you praying? Are you seeking God with your heart by praying every day? Are you evangelizing as a disciple?
Come on, bro.
Those are the actions that prove we're seeking God with all of our heart.
Come on, bro.
Now, if you're a guest in our church, you're here, that means you're trying to seek God with all your heart. Maybe you don't know how, but maybe the simple step, if you're a guest here and you're wondering, maybe it's just getting together with the guy or girl who brought you out here.
Come on,
and doing another Bible study.
Come on, bro.
Maybe that's just it. Now, are you doing it with all your heart? Well, you kind of ask yourself, when's my next Bible study? Is it like a week or a few days from today? Why not today? Do you have an hour today to kind of get together? Or maybe tomorrow. Do you have the time tomorrow, like an hour? What's crazy is I was talking to, I think it was on a car ride home actually, with Brett and Jose. But I was talking about like how people have time.
Yeah, we do.
Everyone truly has time. It's just whether or not you're going to make time to do what needs to be done.
Because
you can have a quality hour of productivity, or you can have an hour of just chilling on the couch watching Netflix. Supernatural.
True.
So, it's harder to make the tougher decisions. It is. But the tougher decisions are always worth it, is what I found.
That's right. Yeah. Sure.
Now, just to kind of tell you something that I'm working on personally, and actually it was great, our car ride home yesterday from Yosemite, it was solid.
It was solid.
Just as quality as the time we got to spend there on the rapid.
Nice.
But so it was Jose, Brick, and I, we were on our car ride home, and I was just telling them, like, man, Jose, I think we need to be cranking disciples, bro.
Yeah.
He like kind of looked at me like, where are you going with this right now?
Yes.
And I was like, bro, I just like, I have a vision.
Come on.
And I was like,
come on, bro.
Come on.
And I want to kind of lift up Tyler and Victor real fast here. You guys are awesome examples of disciples. And I was like, bro, Jose, I think you and I can out-crank.
Come on.
You and I just made that decision.
There is decision.
Yes.
We just made that decision on a daily basis to really go after.
Preach, Isaac.
Come on, bro.
I was like, bro, I really think we can get some like spiritual competition in here. Really go after it. Go after our own relationship with God, but also just prove it in our actions.
There it is.
Getting
that
to say,
preach, preach.
I'm working on. We're going to skip forward to verse 54.
Come on,
Isaac. Let's go, Isaac.
In verse 54.
Awesome.
So when the centurion and those with him were guarding Jesus, or the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." So, church, the Son of God died so that we can be free from being passive. So let our actions speak so loudly that Satan wishes we were more passive. Now, I want to encourage you with this quote here.
Come on, bro.
Some of you guys are really going to like this, but I know where it comes from. But our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure.
Yes.
It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. You are a child of God. You're playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it's not just in some of us. It's in everyone.
Come on.
And as we let our own light shine,
come on, bro,
we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
As we are liberated from our own fears.
Yeah.
Our presence automatically liberates others.
Yep.
Wow. So, church, we are truly free from being passive. The challenge is to let our actions prove it. Actions of boldness, purpose, and love. In 1 John 3:18, it says, "Dear children, let us not love with word or speech, but with actions and truth."
Come on.
So, church, let's live that out. I I love you guys so much. Thank you.
Isaac, another round of applause. The next evangelist. Amen. Well, good morning, church. It's awesome to have the privilege to come up here and speak before you guys. As you guys know, in 2 days, it's going to be July 4th, the Day of Independence. And, you know, if you don't know what it is, it's the day where we celebrate the freedom from the British Empire. And, you know, during this time as well, on July 4th, 1776, we've established the Declaration of Independence, the document, where it states that, you know, all men are equal.
Yep.
Where it states that, you know, life, liberty, and freedom.
Yep.
And it proclaims these things.
Yeah.
We're going to look into Scripture this morning, and we're going to see how did Paul use his freedom.
Come on.
I'll look at the passage here. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
Come on, bro.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 19.
Let's go.
It says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. To those who are under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but under Christ's law, so as to win those not under the law. To the weak, I became the weak to win the weak. I become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings.
Amen.
An amazing passage here. And what Paul is basically saying is, hey, like, to the Jew, I became the Jew. To the rocker, I became a rocker.
Yeah.
To the Isaac Garcia, I became an Isaac Garcia.
Yeah.
I go rock climbing.
Yeah.
I become all things to all people so that I could save as many as possible and not just the Victor Politos. Let's continue. Verse 24. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the race goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last forever. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Awesome passage. So reading in context here, what Paul is talking about is that he puts his body and he beats it down in strict training so that he can become the Jew, so that he can become the Gentile, so he can become all these things, all these people. And, you know, if you guys didn't know, let's check out verse 25 real quick. In 25, it says, everyone who competes in the race goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever.
Amen.
If you look into the Greek here, it says, we do it to get a crown that will last forever. They do it to get a crown that will not last. If you look into the Greek word is parthos and aparthos. Parthos means corruptible. Aparthos means incorruptible. And if you know Paul at this time, what he was talking about, they actually had Olympics back then, the ancient Olympics.
Come on, bro.
And what it was called the Panhellenic Games. And what it was, it consisted of four different games on which people would compete, whether it was races, boxing, different things like this.
Yeah.
And they would train so hard for these races, for these games, to win crowns. They would be crowns of different crowns. Crowns of olives, crowns of laurel, the type of leaf, wild celery, and pine. And these were shown to signify royalty, admirable, commander. And they didn't fuck for that.
Wow.
You know, the four games with the Olympic Games, number one, the Olympic Games, was to honor the god of Zeus, the god of sky, lightning. The second game, Pythian. The games was to honor Apollo. The Apollo, god of music, poetry, knowledge, medicine. The third game, Nemean, the game to honor Zeus and Hercules. Hercules, the god of strength. Fourth game was Isthmian. It was to honor Poseidon, the god of the sea and earthquakes and the soil. You know what it says? These guys went into strict training to honor these gods. We enter a game called Christianity to honor the God of the Most High, creator of the heaven and the earth. That's what they did for gods that do not last. How much more what we're going to do for God that is the God of eternity? Are you guys ready? We got to ask ourselves. So if this is the standard Paul used, well, let's see who is the standard for. Let's go to Romans 1.
Come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
In Romans 1, verse 14. In verse 14 it says, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Incredible passage. Paul here is speaking and he's saying, guys, I am obligated. I'm obligated to the Greek, to the non-Greek, to the Jew, to the unwise, to the foolish. I'm obligated, and that's why all of us are here today. In this passage, if you also look into the Greek, really cool. The non-Greek, in the Greek, its name was Barbaros, which means barbarian.
Wow.
So Paul is saying, I reached out to the Greek and also the barbarian. Barbarian, the definition for that is harsh, unwise, rude, things like that. Also means speaks a foreign language, foreigner, and it's intense. Paul is saying, I've done all these things so I can reach out to all possible means. And, you know, if you guys know me at all, I got baptized in October 5th of 2014. I'm coming around to 3 years now, and if you met me before, I was a completely different me. I was totally different. Jacob and Tyler actually baptized me in San Jose.
Come on.
And out there, you know, I was the most shyest guy ever. I was so scared that I couldn't go to 7-Eleven and buy a Gatorade.
Wow.
I was just very scared. I don't know what it was. Just where it was. I didn't have many talents. I lacked a lot of things.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, it was awesome. But now I make it a point where I try to be all things all people. You know, like me coming to the kingdom, honestly, I had a hard time getting along with Judea. I don't know what it was. I just had a hard time. Like, we just didn't click. So I remember one time, like, I saw how everyone interacted with her, so I kind of, like, came up to her and, like, what's up, girl? What's up, you saying? You know, and then immediately, like, we just talked, and it was cool. Like, we broke down that wall, you know? You know, even another time, too, like, sometimes I got hard, it's hard for me to get along with Aaron. I have a hard time. Different character. But I remember one time, like, I said in my mind, okay, I am going to love this dude. So, we go into Red Lobster one day, and we're in the parking lot of Red Lobster. So we're just sitting in the car, Aaron's car. It's me, Tyler, Aaron, Jose, and the King. And we're just sitting there, and there's like a group text message of like some of the sisters and brothers. And we're just texting like, hey guys, what parking, or what Red Lobster we're at? We're in the parking lot, Red Lobster. Like, what Red Lobster we're at? We're just like joking around. Tyler sent the message. I'm like, what Red Lobster are we at? You were already in the parking lot of it. And, you know, then Sally goes like, hey, who's going to pay for me? And I send a message, oh, Aaron's going to get us. And I just like, joke around. And then we get inside, I'm like, I'm seeing next Aaron. Like, start talking. And me and making an effort like that, I feel like we got a little closer. We need to make it a point to do these things. This is an area I'm weak in, and as I repent in this, I'm going to call you to my repentance.
Come on, bro.
If your heart here this morning is like, well, I don't need to be all things all people, like, oh, just leave that to the minister. Just leave that to the guy who wants to be full-time. No, I say, if that is your heart this morning, you're in sin.
Because you
need to reach out to all things, to all people, and save as many as possible. I have two challenges for you this morning. The first one is, set aside some time and really consider, really think, what areas do you lack in? What areas are you not like all things, all people? And really sit down and set goals by next week to to be all things to all people. Some areas I did was I set goals and like, man, I'm going to pick a favorite baseball team, a favorite soccer team, a favorite football team, and basketball team. So I could talk to all these, so I could talk to the Marcuses. So I can't talk to Ryan. So I can't be telling people. I have my family here. So like, making a point, making a goal by next week. The second thing, whoever you hang out with, that's kind of who you're, that's who you're to be like. So if you need to be more extroverted, well, Olga, come here, sis. We're going to have a great time, and we're going to love each other. You know, if you want to be, I don't know, more rational, King, you're my best friend. Like, whoever you're around, that's who you're going to become. So make that a goal. And you know, why are goals so important? They're so important because if you don't have goals, when you aim at nothing, you succeed every time. So you need goals to shoot for something. You know, closing out, let's turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4.
Come on, bro.
In 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is a passage I want to be said of the Sacramento City International Christian Church.
Come on.
In 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, it says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good race. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." This is an intense passage. Here, Paul is saying, hey, I finished the race. I kept the faith. I only did my duty. And I would love for that to be said of us. And I'm sure you guys are with me this morning.
Yeah.
You know? There was a brother, his name is James Burton Kaufman. He was a brother that died at the age of 101, and in 2006 actually, and he's converted hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And he said this quote here. He said, "Not until every thought and imagination of a man or woman's heart is brought into subjection is his conversion complete."
Wow.
Not until all of my desires, all the things I long for, have come and been obediently following God's commands, will then I be able to save as many as possible.
Come on.
You know, closing out here, like, in July 4th of 1776, the Declaration of Independence was established for the United States and is the standard in which our country rules by today. For us as disciples who are baptized, our standard we live by is the Bible, and it's such a higher standard.
Come on,
looking at this, like, we are free from so much stuff, free from sin, and because of it, we are obligated to be all things to our people.
Yep.
We are obligated to get to Davis.
Come on.
We're obligated to get to Rancho Cordova, to Citrus Heights, to Roseville. Someone needs to go to Hong Kong.
Yes.
Someone needs to go to all of the world and baptize all mankind.
Yeah.
And I believe if we do this, we will set a true freedom to all nations. Thank you very much.
Woo.